This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, do you have a passion for teaching others and just watching them grow? Is it something that you've kind of been interested in doing? Well, I'm with Brandon Steckler at the TST Big Event 2022, and we discuss his path to becoming a trainer and a writer for Motor Age magazine. He also shares a transparent review of one of his classes from a peer. And I did a special episode with Brandon on his passion for teaching in episode 342. Speaking of training, did you know that auto tech colleges need part-time instructors? Well, it's a great way to engage with auto tech students. Get to know the colleges. Now, how about being a high school night school trainer? Hey, let's think outside the box and advance the aftermarket together. Hey, thanks to our partners Apex and Shopware for providing you this episode. Hey, did you notice that the Apex registration is now open? Hey, imagine walking into a simulated real-world shop environment. It's got 10 service bays, lifts, and vehicles where you can see product demos and talk capabilities, benefits, and how to use it all in real time. Welcome to Joe's Garage at Apex 2022, November 1st through the 3rd in Las Vegas. Now, to register, visit aapexshow.com/register. Remember to also make your hotel accommodations on the Apex website, aapexshow.com. I'll see you there. Hey, I don't know about you, but I'd rather see a tech working under a hoist than roaming aimlessly around your shop. Well, Shopware's streamlined digital communication makes it real easy for your team to work together and gets approvals faster. Find out more on the web at getshopware.com. Hey, a warm welcome to Brandon Steckler. Hi, Brandon.
Carl.
Oh, I'm so glad. I go back to my memory of I think the first podcast that I ever did with you. You really bared it all. I want to grow up and I want to be this person. And Jim Morton was my mentor. You remember all that?
I do.
And then we revisited an episode with you and Jim, maybe 6 months ago or something like that.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was so much fun to do because, you know, Jim is a really wildly respected trainer in our industry. I think he's retired. He's in Florida now.
Yes. Living the dream.
Yeah, living the dream. Great. Yeah. He lost his wife of so many years. She was such an incredible part of his life and his business. And of course, he decided to, you know, get the hell out of PA. Was he living in Pennsylvania?
He was. Yeah. His whole life.
Yeah, his whole life. So he's now down in Florida. So hi, Jim, if you're listening to this.
Yeah, I don't feel bad for him at all now where he's staying.
So. Yeah, I know. And so we're at the TST Big Event. Thank you so much, G, for having us out here. I just love to come here and hang with people. And I did the keynote speech here.
That was great, by the way.
Oh, thanks. So that everyone knows, I was really trying to say, do you work for a NASA shop? And it's not NASA the county, or it's not the Bahamas, NASA the Bahamas. It's NASA. And so I was putting together this concept of what NASA had to do to put Mercury and Gemini and Apollo up, and of course, land someone on the moon. All that they do and all that they learned, how could we make our shops do the same thing that they valued to get where they got? And I think I made my point.
Yeah, it was an excellent point.
All right, thank you.
The standard thing, that was...
Yeah, standards. Brilliant. We got to have standards. They wouldn't have done it without integrity and focus and hiring great people. It's like, oh, sounds like the things that we need to do when we fix our customers' cars and do that. So thank you for that. We've got a whole bunch of really cool things to talk about. I can't wait to hear what you have to say about life after teching. I'm sure you're at these meetings. By the way, Brandon is a technical editor of Motor Age, and you've always wanted to write, so I'm happy that you're living your dream there.
Lots of fun. I really enjoy it. It doesn't feel like work.
Yeah, I know. But what I do doesn't feel like work either. And you're, of course, a trainer for CTI and WorldPAC.
Yeah.
So you're going to be down at STX.
Very excited for that event.
Yeah, and how many hours are you supposed to be up in training?
Let's see. I'm doing 5 sessions, so that's a total of 20 hours of teaching over the course of that week.
Wow.
Very excited.
I wish you the best, and I hope they have a wonderful event, and I know they will. That's down in Orlando, right?
Brandon also loves writing so much. He's writing his 4th book, right?
I am. I'm really excited about that. I've been putting together some thoughts and ideas on paper, and you know, I always say I don't teach. I just show what worked for me. So if it works for me, believe me, anybody can do it.
Cool. Thank you.
Just kind of get my thoughts on paper.
Thank you, Trace. Appreciate that. So life after teching, I guess my point was, is that you meet so many people out at the training events.
I do. I got to throw in here, it's tremendously exciting for me, being an educator, to see the thrill in their eyes at age 18 or at age, in some cases, 58 or 68. there's guys in here that are in their 70s that are still as excited as I remember being when I first figured out the path I should be headed down. It's great to see that.
What's after teching? I mean, there's opportunities in the business.
There really is. And for me, honestly, that was a scary situation. I started to teach with WorldPack. I had an opportunity because, as you know, I specialized in Honda. So I was approached with the opportunity to write a Honda class. And I did. And that class has done fairly well for me. But the thought of becoming a full-time anything outside of the shop was scary for me because that's all I've grown to know over the, 23 years I've been a technician. So to step away from it, it was maybe not a fear of failure, but a fear of what if I gave all this up and realized I don't like what I'm doing and wished I was back in the shop.
It was a gutsy move.
I felt like lots could go wrong. I think there was more that could have gone wrong than right. And I was wondering, as much as I enjoyed doing it, is it the right move for myself and my family?
Who encouraged you?
So many people. Pete Meyer, for one. Jim Morton, of course, has always been in my corner.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, at the time, my current employer. His name's Gerard, owns a shop out in Bristol, Pennsylvania. And he said to me, look, I got to be honest with you. I love what you do here. I need you here. But if you want to be a teacher, go be a teacher. It's to the point now where you can't do both. It's unmanageable.
You were born to be a teacher.
I feel like it's so rewarding. It's more rewarding than fixing a problem car, although I still get to do that sometimes too. So,
don't I recall that you were driving a long way to go to work?
Yeah. It was about an hour and 15-minute drive each, hour and 30 each direction, twice a day, obviously. And I did that 5 days a week, sometimes 6 days a week for years.
Yeah. I remember that in the episode. Well, that really shocked me. Do you have to write your own classes at CTI? Do people write them for you? Do you have input on them?
So what's great is working with WorldPack and with CarQuest, we are kind of like sisters, yet two totally different cultures. So WorldPack is, the classes are put together by what we refer to as SMEs or subject matter experts. In my case, it was the Honda. I was the Honda expert. That's scary, call myself an expert. That's what they referred to me as.
Sure.
So I put together the material and I teach that material all over the United States and Canada. CarQuest.
You're it. You're the guy.
I'm the Honda guy.
So you're the SME and the trainer.
Correct.
Got it.
So I built the curriculum and I teach it. And there's other very talented curriculum developers, teachers for WorldPack with many other models, all of them. CarQuest is a totally different culture. CarQuest, we have a group of dedicated, very highly experienced professionals, subject matter experts on many, many subjects. They spend their entire day, weeks, months putting together classes in a fashion where they can train the trainer. So I get to prepare for classes that are not my own, but I know them so well, they become my own. And at CarQuest, we have the opportunity to supplement with our own experiences to make the class more real and involved. And in the end, it's a great experience for everybody.
And on the CarQuest side, are you the Honda expert?
I'm not. I am an equivalent to every CarQuest instructor we have. So we all teach.
You teach everything. You teach everything, and the SMEs create those lessons for you.
That's correct.
But you have the freedom to bring in your own piece of the action here.
That's correct.
Would it be like a case study that you did?
Absolutely.
To spice it up?
A lot of times there might be presenting maybe a PowerPoint presentation. There might be a dedicated 20 slides to a particular case study and say, you know what? This same subject material that's trying to be portrayed here, I've got my own experience. I'll tell you what, I'm going to take this one out and I'm going to put mine in. And one of the other instructors teaching the same class next week might do the same, but with different material. We get a better experience as a class attendee because we're seeing real life, not something that's been regurgitated or memorized, perhaps.
Yeah.
So I love that CarQuest allows that freedom.
Did you teach at Vision?
I did. That was a tremendous experience. I just put together a new class called Drivability from the Driver's Seat, Mastering Scantle Data Interpretation.
I remember reading that and I said, wow, that just is perfect for you.
I love that.
Give us a quick scenario. I mean, you're basically saying if you're sitting in the passenger seat and you're plugged in, you're seeing all this stuff. It has to speak to you, right?
It really does. And you know what? It's basically extrapolating data from the vehicle that's available on all our scan tools and making some preliminary diagnostic decisions right there in the driver's seat before we take anything apart or invest any time. And what I tried to do to make this class unique, Carm, is I broke my own truck five different ways, but each way produced the same power symptom, the same complaint. Well, it was up to the attendees to tell me what was wrong with the truck after we talked about everything and we went through the process. They became the master diagnosticians.
Shouldn't they be broken up into groups?
I couldn't imagine doing it like that. That well, would
not,
be
not that big. I mean, how many do you have in the classroom?
About 300.
See, 300. Okay.
Number,
well, you can't do that. But if you were doing a group of 20, as an example,
yeah,
you could probably teach the class a little differently, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Hey, Apex has announced a new and exciting webinar series produced by Shop Owner and Tire Review that will offer training on automotive technology and business management. See all the classes and register at aapexshow.com/webinar. Now stay ahead of the curve and don't miss these free Apex webinars that run now until September 2022. These webinars are part of a new 8-part Apex Repair Shop HQ series that will provide essential takeaways on ADAS and alignment diagnostics, hiring and retaining employees, no-code drivability diagnostic strategies, service advisor customer satisfaction strategies, navigating the rapids ahead, and start-stop system diagnostics. Each 45-minute webinar is recorded so you can share it with your team. See a complete list and attend any or all webinars. Simply register at aapexshow.com/webinar. You got to stay ahead of the curve, and you know that. Don't miss the next free Apex webinar. Register now, aapexshow.com/webinar. Hey, we all have bad days when we just want to turn to someone and ask, how the heck do I fix this? When that happens to you on the business side, which may not be your strong suit, you want someone quick, and you want them to be clear. That's exactly what Dan Groen from Detroit Garage found when he peppered the folks at Shopware with questions about how to make the most of its shop management system. As he puts it, they continually solve the curveballs we throw at them. With 7 shops, Dan jokes that he knows he's a demanding client, but that's the sign of a guy committed to his business. Even better, the Shopware support team met every challenge with, in Dan's words, impressive capabilities and vigor. No complaints, no hassles, just a commitment to help Dan through his day. As Dan says, we make each other stronger. Now that's a partnership that works. It's time. Get Shopware.com. I remember moderating a panel at ASTE this past fall. The first time that Tracy was with me out in an event, and Jim Kokonis was on the panel, and he said this, he said something I have yet to forget. It's just top of mind. Ask yourself why. Meaning if you're going down the tree chart and this thing tests this particular way and it says, now go here, why did it test that way? Because you'll get smarter along the way if you know why something happened. You agree with that?
I do. And you know what? I'm so fortunate to be able to work with Jim Kokonis. He's one of the subject matter experts.
Yeah.
Brilliant guy. There's always something to learn. Even if it comes down to making a cup of coffee, Jim knows how to do it differently and better, and he can tell you why. And that's no joke.
He's, well, I love coffee. Yeah, I need to talk to him.
You better know your stuff if you want to talk to him about coffee.
Is he a French press guy?
He is. He knows it all.
Well, that's a different level of coffee.
I know, it sure is. I know. I'm a Keurig guy, but if I tell that to Jim, he'll probably think
he'll never come on the podcast again.
I was hesitant to make my own cup because I was afraid I was going to get yelled at.
Jim was on a couple of shows recently, and if you've not heard those training episodes that we did with Anthony Williams, Justin Morgan, and Jim, we did 2 of them, and they're off the charts. There's so much in those episodes. They were challenging each other. Anthony got up in his soapbox. Justin tried to bring him down. And Jim stands by and he goes, I think I need to corral this group.
I'd love to hear the outtakes from that.
Oh, well, you know, we've been talking about that recently. We really have, that we need to create some outtake shows.
We just need to have the recorder on before we technically go live and then after too.
That's right, because we usually don't turn on until we're ready, and we turn off at the end just to protect some of the dialogue that we have at the end. Right?
No protection now, guys.
So yeah, we keep thinking, you know, what do they call that when some of the stuff fell on the editing room floor? And that we should do some outtakes.
I'm going to start doing it.
That'd be a good name for the show. Yeah.
Outrageous outtakes. How about that? Outrageous outtakes. Never mind. So many technicians love, they talk cars, they don't talk people. Is that a hard transition?
For a lot of people, it was. To me, you guys know, I talk too much. So I never had an issue speaking with people. So to be able to explain to a customer at a level that they can understand.
Yeah, because you can get too techie, couldn't you?
It's very easy to get techie. And, you know, a lot of us make the mistake as technicians that, well, the more I know, the better it looks. if I can impress them, but you scare them off, it's, you don't want to do that. So if I can explain something.
I think he told me that the ohms value on the resistor, they don't need to know that. Listen, we fixed your car. We found out this thing worked. We put a bunch of really cool Diag equipment on it. It told us what was wrong. And it was this module. We put it on and you're on your way, safe and reliable. Isn't that what you do?
But nobody wants to spend money on their car.
No.
I mean, nobody does. But I think people are happy to do it if they realize their investment's going to be worth it.
Yeah.
And if you can show that you're educated and what you're trying to do makes sense, people are more willing to spend their money and trust their vehicle with you.
And a lot of times when you're selling maintenance and, you know, well, what do you mean I have to do this? I think there's some skill in salesmanship at that time, and you're not selling something that they don't need, but mm-hmm. why do I need it?
There's that Jim Kokona saying again.
Yeah,
why?
See?
Why? You can say why.
Yeah, why do I need it? Training assessments. Is that something we need to look forward to in the future? Think about the team that's here. Great trainers here today. Do we know if they came in and they were starving for this information and at the end they walked away with anything? Wouldn't that be valuable?
You know, I got to hand it to G and the team at TST to put together an event as big as TST is and have the training set up as it is where all the attendees see all the classes.
Yeah.
You got to wonder of the X number of hundreds of people. I know we've had as many as, if I'm not mistaken, 700 before the whole COVID thing.
Yeah.
Is everybody absorbing what was intended to be absorbed? And of course, everybody learns at different levels. I mean, I do think everybody will take something away from everything they see here because they're such great instructors and material here always. If there is a way to evaluate for prerequisites, maybe, is there something I need to know before entering this class or that class? I think that could be helpful in some cases. One of my classes, for instance, is I don't want to call it advanced because I don't think it's advanced. I think it just takes a level of understanding. And once it makes sense, it's not advanced. It's just really neat. It's a time saver. But I've got many people that want to take that class because they've heard things about the class. But I can tell you right now, they're not ready to take it because they don't even know how to use the tools just to interpret the data.
When you're looking at all the courses that you're going to come in and take, Vision, for example, there's all the classes. There's the trainer, who he works for, what he does, synopsis of the class. Should there not be prerequisite line next?
I think, yeah. And maybe not a line that just says a prerequisite. I would much rather read an accurate description of the class than something that's just going to knock my socks off. I don't need it to be an advertisement. As exciting as it is to read some of these class descriptions, I would rather it be accurate and not exciting than to me get in a class and expect. You know, I had somebody, I don't want to put him on the spot, so I won't mention his name, but he's a highly regarded technician in the field and also a regular for decades at Vision. And I said to him, I said, hey, look, I know you're in my class. And I know you don't need this class. Thanks for the support, but I really want your opinion. He said to me, I don't think you do. I said, I really do. I value it. Good or bad, I want to hear it. And he said, you don't bring this stuff to Vision. This is basic. And it was a basic class. It was never meant to be advanced. What he thought he was going to get out of that class, although he didn't need it, I know his level of diagnostic ability, he far exceeded that class. I didn't talk about what he expected to hear me talk about.
Okay.
So he was a bit disappointed. And he told me this class should probably not be here at Vision.
It shouldn't be at Vision. It was too high level?
It wasn't high level enough.
It wasn't high level enough. It was too basic.
Yeah. So again, I don't want to put that person on the spot. He was doing me a favor.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
And thank God you had the ability to take that.
Oh, of course.
You got to drop your humility at the door.
Absolutely.
Especially when everybody is rated. If I know you and I've never been to one of your classes, but you're probably going to get up there and say, listen, I don't know everything. You know, I'm here to share. And I really want your real, you know, valuation.
That's true. That's all I ever want.
Come and talk to me. Tell me what was right. Tell me what was wrong. Because you can't get better. You can't go through life doing the same thing you did yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Do you tweak your classes all the time?
I'm always, especially if somebody brings up a point or says, hey, let me show you something I did. I might just, Mr. Scott Manna, he offered me some information for my class, a case study he did, and it brilliantly highlights the point I was trying to make, except now I have something visual to point to. That's about 10 or 15 slides, maybe a 20-minute discussion in my class that is now, because of Scott, that's going to make my class better point out the point I was trying to make.
Oh, I just had this wild idea that, you know, trainers like you and Scott and all these other guys just get together. You spend 3 or 4 days, you give your class to these 3 or 4 people in the room, and you each do an evaluation to kick every seminar up a notch.
Wow. Wow. What a concept.
See, I have all this stuff. It just bubbles out of me, just to tell you that I'm an ideas guy. Not that it would ever happen, but you're telling me, why do you have to wait to give it in an environment with 300 people to find out that there's a, you know, a peer trainer coming to you saying it was too basic?
Well, I told myself this, in all fairness, I did put my heart and soul in that class, and I meant well. If I have to tweak the description of the class,
okay,
I'm more than willing to do that right now.
Yeah.
But I did ask everyone on Facebook to please, please complete the evaluations, good or bad. If you have something, what we'd consider negative, to say, I want to hear it.
Sure, sure.
And that will help me make a better decision on how I'm going to tweak it to make it better.
So let's just keep going down this life after teching. And we just went to the service advisor role. What else could technicians be doing?
I know so many talented, extremely talented technicians in this business. And a lot of these guys and women are so introverted. They don't hardly say anything throughout the course of the day unless you're breaking some stones and they're giving it back to you. But they're very quiet and they don't talk, but they know so much and they have so much to share. And they're good at sharing it, but they don't have the confidence. They'd say, oh, you know, I'm not smart. I'm stupid. All right. I can't do this. And I'm telling you, from an educator's perspective, the way that person goes about explaining perspective, it's brilliant. And I think they'd make a tremendous instructor. Not only a good, just an absolutely tremendous instructor. And it might be the next great, you know, like your John Thornton.
Yeah. What about trying to be a part-time instructor at high school or college to maybe almost break that ice? But again, I want to go on record by saying that every high school night class, adult night, and every college, post-secondary college automotive training program, way out on a limb, every one of them in the United States of America needs part-time trainers. I know our college that I'm on the advisory board did, and they recently reached out to an independent group that I belong to, a breakfast meeting 2 weeks ago, and says, we need part-time. They looked around the room and says, you're all business owners, but you are all technicians. You all still have your ASEs, I found out. Who's going to come in and teach a one-night course for me? Break the ice. Come on, do it. The students learn who independents are and all about your shop. How does an individual that you describe, who's a little introverted, but is brilliant, who doesn't maybe know how to get it over, how do we help that person cross that line?
Well, I'll tell you, first and foremost, I am always looking for writers at Motor Age Magazine. Always, always looking. I will always be looking. So let's talk. Please reach out to me via email, Facebook Messenger, however. Step forward first. You know what I mean? Speak out, reach out to an instructor that you know, maybe that's one you attend class regularly with from any one of the training companies. Ask him how you can get your foot in the door. I can tell you right now, I spoke with my really good friend, Chris Lewis, with ATG, Automotive Training Group, and they're looking for instructors. So that's just me speaking with Chris. I mean, so I would start there. If you think there's even a possibility you can picture yourself doing this and you've got something to share, I really feel like you owe it to yourself and the industry to at least speak with somebody about it, because you might be the next big thing. And who knows, if you're anything like me, you might find your next career move that's absolutely going to take it a step up.
You nailed it, by the way. There's not only a technician shortage, there's a trainer shortage.
Yeah.
I know. I was speaking to some people here. They're moving on. They're moving away. The COVID issue, everybody had to be let go. And then now they're trying to bring them back and they found other things. There's a huge void. Maybe not in your company, but there's some voids out there. And I love your idea. Reach out. Talk to a trainer that you go to a class. What's your email? How do they get a hold of you?
That's exactly it. So my email address is, I'll give you my personal one. It's theboywonder.
Oh, that's right. That's the wildest one I ever had.
It used to be, let me finish telling you, it's theboywonder13@comcast.net. It used to be the boy blunder. So I had to order. I had to earn my stripes.
I'm surprised that's not a Hotmail account.
Right? What are you trying to say? I'm old.
Oh my. Another question. I'm that person and I'm listening to this podcast and I'm getting a spark. I love what Brandon said. So next class I go to, I'm going to approach Brandon or Matt or John or Scott or who's ever teaching. And I'm going to pull them off to the side, wait for everybody to come down and says, I really think I'd like to do this. What do I have to do to start? And I know they're going to tell them something, get an email, change cards. I come back to the shop and I have a dialogue with this person in some emails. This person would like to meet you. Let's have a Zoom call. We'll do it tomorrow night, blah, 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 blah. And this person gets energized. And all of a sudden, they need to go to the owner and say, I've been offered a part-time gig. And on Friday afternoon, in 4 weeks, I have to go do some training. You're what? So my point is, the owner's got to be on board with allowing this individual to spread their wings, because I can't imagine how much better that is for the shop.
I understand. And I can only offer you my perspective. I was contacted by CarQuest because one of the instructors whom with I was taking a class recognized just me running my mouth.
This guy has something to say. Maybe he could be a trainer.
It was something like that. So what I ended up doing was, I'll put him on the spot. This was Mr. Kevin Leiby, who many of us realize who he is. He's an absolute superstar with CarQuest Technical Institute and one of the kindest human beings you will ever meet in your life. Kevin took me under his wing during this onboarding process. And the beauty of it is I had no commitments with them until after hours. So class doesn't start until 7 p.m. I can continue on with my job at the shop. And instead of sitting at home watching TV, you know, Kevin gave me this class to prepare for 6-7 weeks ahead of time. He said, look, read through this material. If you have any questions, give me a call. And what we're going to do is this. We're going to co-teach this class. I'm going to teach the class. And then I'm going to give you a small section. Maybe you're going to talk for 10 minutes. So I just want you to really focus heavy on this section here. Well, what happened was I got so confident in that little tiny section that I realized no matter what happens, I just got to hang in there for 10 minutes. He ended up letting me teach half the class. And eventually it got to the point where, hey, you know, this guy's, he's going to do it. He's doing well. And we should just let him run. And, okay. And eventually they sent me to what they call boot camp.
I see now. It clicks in my head that you would not have to take time away from the shop being a part-time instructor, especially if the company is willing to work around your schedule. They do not want you to hurt the business.
Yeah.
Makes all kinds of sense.
And I can't say every training company is like that, but that was my experience with CarQuest Technical Institute.
Sure, I imagine.
It worked really well.
Well, yeah. They have to respect their customer, especially if they're pulling someone out. So you're always recruiting. You're always either looking for a writer or you're looking to grow the training team at CTI or Worldpack. They need to have some presence, right? They've got to be able to talk on their feet. What other qualities would you be looking for?
Again, just my opinion as an educator, I think it's much easier to teach somebody how to express themselves or how not to be nervous. And that comes with practice. It's much more important for them to possess that quality of understanding how things really work, right? How cars really function. And if they can do that, you know, obviously they understand. How did they learn? So it's not really teaching. It's sharing what you know, what works for you. I don't remember who said this, but you know, if you can teach something to a six-year-old, it's true mastery. I try and be able to explain something at the most basic level. And if somebody has that ability, they understand something that well, I think the rest can be taught.
I love that. You said express yourself. And especially if you have subject matter experts on the CarQuest side and you can express yourself and you know, I love what you said, you have to know how the car works.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. If not, you're out.
And are there systems that I have to teach about that I have not any experience on? Absolutely. Yeah. I'm not a diesel guy. Have I worked on diesels before? Absolutely. When I first thought of the idea of having to present a class to teach people who probably have more diesel experience than I do, I was terrified. But I can tell you, I've got handed cell phone numbers personally from guys like Pete Orlando, who is teaching here today.
Yeah.
And he said, dude, if you have to call me at 3 a.m. because you have a question, you call me at 3 a.m.
When they asked you to teach a diesel class, did you say, are you kidding me?
When I saw, I'll call it the class roster list, and it's like, okay, you know, I know this, and then diesel, and some, when ADOS first came to be, and I'm like, wow, I've never performed any ADOS calibrations. How am I going to teach this stuff? But the material is so well assembled and preparing for it and having those avenues to be able to reach out to the SMEs and get some more information, or what did they mean when they were trying to get their point across on this slide? They could walk me through the process.
I bet you went out and did some calibrations.
Yeah. And that's what it is. It gives you confidence and it allows you to take the necessary steps to prepare yourself. You know, whatever it takes, that's pretty much the attitude. Whatever you got to do, you do it, but you got to be prepared because you have a responsibility. You have to help people better themselves and their shops.
And there's one more thing I want to talk about. You and Matt Fonslow did an episode, And everybody has to know that, you know, Matt has his own podcast on the Aftermarket Radio Network called Matt Fonslow Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z, because Matt can talk about just about anything.
And he does. Right?
I think Matt's a little jealous that he's not here with us.
Killer.
Yeah. Because Tracy texted him and says, hey, look, we got Brandon in the studio. And yeah.
He's a little jealous.
It's just a little jealous. It's our network family. You guys did an episode. He texted me when you guys were done, and he says, it's an unbelievable episode, Carm. When you hear it, I think you're going to just really be moved by it. They talked about divorce. And like Matt and I did an episode a while back on addiction, like he did one in his own realm on his own podcast about addiction. And when two people can come together that both have stories to tell and all the wisdom that comes from this very interesting life-changing thing. I don't want you to give the episode away, but you guys did a hell of a job, he tells me.
Thank you. You know, what I can tell you without giving away is this. Being technicians, we learn our greatest lessons from the mistakes. That is one lesson I hope nobody has to learn the hard way. Matt and I both kind of shared what we wouldn't normally comfortably talk about, but we did it because we love everybody.
Yeah.
And we don't want them to go through the same crap we did. You know, I'll be the first to tell you, my marriage could have been saved. Can't now. And me and my ex-wife are really good friends now, but it didn't have to be this way. And a lot of it came from the fact that I don't talk much about my feelings.
Yeah.
So
that's what we do here. And I love where all the episodes that we do, the things that we talk about, the fact that, you know, Matt's not afraid to, you know, tackle anything.
Yeah, no kidding.
Anything. I mean, he texts me, calls me up, he slacks me, and he goes, I got this wild idea. And I just say, it just sounds too good. Just work it, develop it, find the guests and, or do a monologue and just talk about it. And that's what I think we're really doing. We're pushing people's thinking boundaries. And we're also helping people with lives. We did some great episodes here that were very emotional and to the core of being a better person. So thank you for doing that with Matt.
I was honored.
Any final word?
Seeing people come into training, this really does my heart good. So yeah. It's nice to see, again, the 18-year-olds as well as the 68-year-olds here with the same excitement in their eyes.
Face-to-face, there isn't anybody that you walk up to, meet for the first time, or have an old friend that just doesn't value the fact that you can give someone a hug or shake a hand. And
yeah, it's been too long.
It's what our life has been always about. Brandon Steckler, technical editor, Motor Age, and CTI Wolfpack trainer. Thanks for being here, man.
Thanks a lot, Carmen. Tracy, appreciate it.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.